الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. اما بعد، فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: واحل الله البيع وحرم الربا، صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، الحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء الكرام and beloved brothers and elders, we have been discussing the business ethics and the attributes of a Muslim merchant and a Muslim trader, and how we find that people that are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective of where they go, what their activities are, they never become unmindful of the remembrance of Allah, of establishing salat, giving zakat. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ السَّلَاةِ وَإِتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ. In reality, it is the condition of the heart where a person is conscious, ever conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective of the place and activity that he is involved in. That is why we find that a person is in the masjid or is in the bazaars, makes no difference whatsoever to the position of the heart of that person that is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever watchful over us, is omnipresent, and is aware of our activities and our actions wherever we go. It is mentioned one, Hazrat Umar radiallahu, that's why we will find instances where whether the person is in the deep recesses of the home, the innermost part of the home, or is out there in the jungle, when it comes to contravening the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the conscience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, then it's virtually impossible for the person to contravene the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to show disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Umar radiallahu anhu is on his patrols and in Madinat al-Munawwara looking over his subjects, and the famous incident we hear that he overhears a conversation in the deep recesses of a home of a Muslim family where the mother is instructing the daughter to adulterate the milk and add water to the milk so that we can get more profit. In other words, put some water in the milk so that the milk can increase, and by selling this milk we will get more profits. The daughter replies to the mother and tells her that the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Khalifa, has ordered that this should not be done. This is against the order of the Khalifa that we should mix up water in the milk and adulterate it and mix it up. She tells her, where is the Amir al-Mu'mineen here? Where is the Khalifa here? There is no Khalifa. Umar radiallahu anhu is not present. She is unaware that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is overhearing this discussion. She says, what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present. In other words, here Amir al-Mu'mineen is not present. But even here in the isolation or in the privacy of our home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of our activities. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu hears this, and he goes, and thereafter he sends his son with a proposal for this lady who was so truthful and so honest when nobody was even watching her. This is the condition of the heart, that they are unmindful of the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his son Asim thereafter manages this woman, and thereafter Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, that just Khalifa, was born out of this wedlock. Here we can see, because of the purity of the heart, the honesty, truthfulness, consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find in this wedlock pious people coming out, like Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, who was known for his justice. Was known, his justice was proverbial, that even the wolves and the goats used to graze together, one would not attack the other. There was so much justice that was prevalent here out of this union. So this was the condition of the heart we find here. There is nobody policing them, there is nobody overseeing them, there is nobody here checking and monitoring the activities. This is the condition of the heart, the consciousness and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, we find Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu goes with his students and with his disciples. He is out on a journey and is traveling, and the time comes for meals. They sit down to partake of meals. They find a shepherd there who is grazing a herd of goats. They call him also to participate in the meal. He tells them, I am fasting. They are quite surprised on the scorching heat, and when the hot winds are blowing, tells him, you are fasting in this place, in this time, you are fasting. He says, yes, because I want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to repay me on that day. Kulu washrabu hani'an bima aslaftum fil ayyamil khaliyah, making reference to this day that Allah Ta'ala will say, eat and drink merrily because of what we have sent forth from the past days. That is, in the dunya, the ibadah that we had made, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will repay me thereafter. Thereafter he tells him that sell us one of the goats that are here. I can imagine here, this person is in the wilderness. There's nobody there, the owner is far away, and the offer is made here to buy and purchase an animal. He tells Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, these do not belong to me, they belong to my master. He says, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu told him that I will purchase one goat from here, we'll slaughter it, we'll partake of it, and we will give you also something for your iftar. He says, they do not belong to me, they belong to my owner. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu is testing him and tells him that, sell it to us and just tell your owner that the wolf has devoured it. A wolf has eaten it up. Where is the owner coming to investigate here? Far away from there. Those days, obviously, we know there was no telecommunications and social media, etc., where you could have related or monitored that person right even there, like we can do today. Then this person replies and he says, Fa'in Allah. He says that you are giving me this offer, very, very lucrative outwardly. In other words, I will take the wealth of this and I will take it for me. Together with that, I will get some of the meat as well. But where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. He is conscious of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right there out in the wilderness when there is nobody monitoring him, nobody looking at him. So it is in reality this, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that what we said, the last sifat Allah ta'ala gave granted to me and all of us under all circumstances and all places, that when this is there at all times, a person will fear the greatness, the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he'll be ever conscious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is omnipresent, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of what is happening to me. Here, as I mentioned, what an offer. The man takes the money, he pockets it, he also gets some meat to partake of, but no. But Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu is so impressed, he mentioned when he comes to Madinatul Munawwarah, in fact he kept on repeating this words, Ain Allah, Ain Allah. Other words, amazed at the words of this person who is out there, right there in the wilderness, but the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his heart is filled with the fear of Allah, and he's conscientizing himself and others around him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present to look at our actions. He comes to Madinatul Munawwarah, he purchases the slave, and he sets him free, he purchases those animals as well, and he grants him the gift to him. So actually it is a condition of the mind, of the heart actually. The person is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then irrespective of his surroundings, he will always behave in a manner that he will conform to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the way of the Sharia. There's a great alim who mentioned that once he was in the Haramain, and there was a person standing holding the ghilaf of the Kaaba, the cover of the Kaabatullah, and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, when I focus myself towards his heart, I established that he had no remembrance whatsoever in his heart. He's right there at the Kaabatullah, holding the covering of the Kaabatullah, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but his heart is unmindful of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, when I went to Mina, I saw a person all the time busy selling something, and we know when people sell, we hear it so often here, millis all the time. Person, whatever words he was repeating over and over in order to promote his ways there, he says, but when I look towards his heart and I focus my attention towards his heart, I found that he was not unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even for a single second. The tongue is saying something, but the condition of the heart is this, that he's not mindful of Allah, unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even for a single second. So this is the quality and attribute that a mu'min has that makes him so distinct and different from all the others in every aspect of his life, whether he's a businessman, whoever he is, rijalullah tulhim tijaratu wa la bay'un an dhikrillah wa iqamis salah. We had also mentioned the incident of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's trading and how he had paid Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu more than what he had asked for, and thereafter he had gifted that camel to Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu. In the context of this buying and selling, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had assisted Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu. This we find in many, many instances in history, where we find the business integrity, the generosity, the fairness, the honesty when it comes to buying and selling. The famous incident of Hazrat Jarir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu al-Bajali, who says that I pledge allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ala iqamis salah wa ita'iz zakah wa nusli li kulli muslimin. He said, I pledge allegiance to Allah, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I will establish my salat, I will give out my zakat, and I will show goodwill to every Muslim. I will show goodwill, I will have goodwill in my heart and show good counsel to every Muslim. He says, once he sent one of his servants to go and purchase a horse, and the servant went and purchased the horse from one person. The person told him, I'm selling it for 300 dirhams. And he came to Hazrat Abdullah, came to Hazrat Jarir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu in order to get payment. Hazrat Jarir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu viewed the horse and told him, this horse is worth more. This horse is worth more than 300 dirhams. It is worth 400 dirhams. The owner said, as you wish. Then he said, oh, it's worth 400, 500 dirhams. He said, as you wish. And thereafter he continued from 5 to 6 and from 6 to 7, from 7 to 8. And he paid him 800 dirhams for that horse that had come, the person had come to sell it for 300 dirhams. More than 100% more than the value that he had brought. Why? He had realized that what nushu li kulli muslimin entails, that I must show goodwill to every Muslim, and I must not take undue benefit from this Muslim. This Muslim does not know the value of the item that he is selling, and his value is, it is much more valuable. I should pay him that which is the real value of this item, even though he is asking for less. Even though if he's asking for less, normally what do? This person is happy with it, and we all know the technical definition of buying and selling. Mubadalatul mali bil mali bit tarari. We find an exchange of wealth from both sides and with consent from both sides. This constitutes a valid Islamic sale. But what does the integrity demand? What does the goodwill and welfare and goodwill towards a Muslim brother demand? That we don't pay him less than what the value is of that. Though he's asking for less, he may be in dire circumstances, he may be not knowing the value, etc. So he kept on increasing the value out of his free will in order not to do this person down and not to take undue benefit of this person. How often do we find these practices in my buying and selling? In our businesses, how often do we find? But here in our scenario, we find generally a person who buys something that's worth 1,000 rand for 200 rand, everybody pats him on the back and says, MashaAllah, what a lucrative bay, you have saved yourself 800 rand. You know what this thing is worth in the marketplace? Not taking into consideration the circumstances of the person that is selling. Sometimes he's desperate. That's desperately in need, but we say no, we don't say any, we don't show any consideration for his situation. Why? It is the time that we must earn only. Our coffers must be full. Yaati ala nas zamanun la yubali al mar'u ma akhadha minhu. Person is not be concerned, not only this, that even if it is haram, as long as it is coming into us, it's not going. It is not going out. It is coming and accumulating and accruing here in my account, then I am satisfied. No, this was the spirit we found, that people used to pay the person more, even despite they asking for less. Even they asking for less, and their person's integrity was such that sometimes not making a firm intention, not concluding the deal. Here we find people conclude the deal. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned he was also a merchant. A group of people had come from Syria to purchase some cloth from him and purchase some items from him, and they had prepared to pay him an amount that will yield him a profit of 5,000 dirhams. And he told them, return today. Otherwise, he did not conclude this deal and told them, return to your homes. Then the next day, some other people came and they made him a counter offer that will yield him a profit of 10,000, 100% more than what the people had offered him the day before. What does Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi say? Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi says that I had made an intention to give it to those people and I do not want to sell it for a profit of 10,000. I'd settle for a profit of 5,000. 100% more profit. And he had not concluded the deal. He had only made an intention. He said, I had only made an intention to sell them. Today we find when it's written also, written agreement is there, payment is not made, and the person comes with a counter offer of 100% more profit, then what do we have today? We all know what it is. Some technicality to get out of it and not to honor that agreement that was made in writing today. Here there's no agreement made, only an intention known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this was the integrity that people had. This was the integrity they had, that I already made an intention to give to this person and I will get 5,000 dirhams, 100% less I will get from what I'm offered today. But I had an intention in my heart to give it to them, I will not change the intention. That is why we find that the earnings of the people of the past were not so much. Well, not like today we hear every second person is a millionaire. Somebody is driving a car worth a million. Somebody is driving, got a property worth 2 million, etc. Those days, when we were young boys and a person was a millionaire, fingers used to point towards him. Certain person is a millionaire. Today people are, like I told you last week, or I didn't tell you, one person told me last week, that one person has an income every month of a million rands. Has his income every month of a million rands. But listen to the next sentence. He says, but Moana, he is depressed. He's suffering from depression. He has an income of a million rand a month, but he's suffering from depression. I could not fathom what the reason of his depression could be. Maybe you can help me here, come to a conclusion. What makes a man depressed when he's earning a million rand a month? Only one conclusion I had come to, that is, maybe he's depressed, he's not earning 2 million. It is only greed that makes a person ungrateful for the wealth that he has. Only greed. A person has, like Rasulullah said, 1 value of gold. and he wishes for another value of gold. How? He has one value of gold, not 1 pound, not 1 kg, one value of gold, and yet he wishes for another value of gold. Otherwise, he's not contented, he's not satisfied, and he's not feeling fulfilled, his needs are not being fulfilled, he wants another value of gold. And it is greed that makes him wish for another value of gold. وَلَا يَمْلُوْ فَاوْ تُرَابْ Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, it is only the sand of the grave that will fill the mouth of that person. So I could not fathom any other reason. Person who has a one, in fact, when I told one of my friends, said, Mona, give me his phone number, this person here. God will tell him, he may get even more depressed if you ask him even for 10 rand. Sometimes a person, when there is greed there, the more a person has, the less he wants to spend. That we can witness with due respect to all those people, mashallah, that had great amount of wealth and spent it, they have open hearts. So here we are talking about the integrity of business integrity that was practiced by our pious people of the past. The income was not too much, but the barakah that was there in the wealth, the barakah that was there, the contentment that was there, the satisfaction that was there, the fulfillment of the needs that was there, is sometimes mind-boggling. One person earning and 12 people's needs are fulfilled, and everybody is contented and everybody is satisfied. Today is the opposite. We find 2 people earning and 2 people cannot eat properly. And 2 people, why? Because our desires have become such that a person will never, even if a person earns 10 million rand a month, it will never be sufficient. Why? Our desires keep going and going and going, increasing, and they do not finish. And that is why no amount is sufficient. No amount is sufficient for a person. You ask him what amount is sufficient, give you a figure, but when he gets that figure, then he's hoping and trying for more and for more and for more. Similarly, we find there are instances where people who paid much more than what they were being offered. A person by the name of Yunus bin Ubaid, rahmatullah alayh, very pious trader, mentioned about him, his integrity, his honesty was such that one woman had come to him and asked him for selling a silken robe to him. And she had told him, it is worth 500 dirhams. He looked at it, he said, no, it is worth more. It is worth more, and he paid, and he said, 600, 700. He continued increasing the price of a woman that had come to sell him that, till he paid 1,000 dirhams for that robe that came to him for sale. Double the price, 100% more, realizing in his comprehension, understanding, this is the value, and I should not pay her less than what she is asking. Whereas the technical terms, you say, lady is selling for that price, she's happy to sell it for that price, and I am buying it. There's nothing wrong whatsoever. No. Goodwill demands, consideration demands, welfare demands, that I do not underpay somebody for their items. And as I had mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me an offer to fig. Today we find poor people coming to our doorstep to sell some things, sitting on the roadside. The entire value of the items is a 50 rand, or 100 rand, or 200 rand. And there I go past, a person who's earning thousands, a person who's riding a motor vehicle with thousands, staying in a home worth millions, there I go past there, and I ask her, Mama, how much are you selling this for? Just 10 rand a dozen. No, make it 8 rand. Make it 8 rand. Imagine that 2 rand. What difference will it make to me? My child may be spending 200 rand, my wife may be spending 2,000 rand, but for that 2 rand, I'm excusing that Mama that has come from so far, and now she's selling that. So common in our society. I'm not implying you, I'm talking about myself. You may be paying more, Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. That is 10 rand, make it 8 rand. Very reluctantly she gives it for 8 rand. She squeals, no, but obviously she's in the receiving end, sitting in the sun, has come from so far, and she sells it for 8 rand, and we buy a dozen or two, and she gives it to us. And sometimes, I told one of my friends who was accompanying me, that seems that this person is more generous than me. You bought it for 8 rand, you bought 2 dozen, she gives you one more. His name Bansela. Those youngsters will not know what Bansela means. Bansela means free of charge, a token of appreciation from my side. Take one or two extra. I'll give you 8 rand a dozen and 2 from my side. 2 from my side. Imagine such a gesture of generosity from a poor person, and we don't realize, we feel 2 rand I saved, 20 rand I saved, or 5 rand I saved. This is the occasion where we should be paying them more. Like we said last week, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, qadani wa zadani. Jabir radiallahu anhu says, he paid me and gave me more than what I want, more than what he owed me. This should be our gesture, to pay that person more. And I mentioned to you also that when some people had did it, these people had said, "Course." Course means God. So much appreciative of that gesture, and that person had purchased that item and given it back to them as a gift. And that person what exclaimed that God, in other words, you are like God. You are so generous, giving to me, taking my item, paying me and giving it back to me. So this person, Yunus bin Ubaid, rahmatullah alayhi, says that a lady came to send the silk robe for 500 dirhams. He gave her 1,000 dirhams, paid her double the amount. Another incident mentioned that one lady had come to sell one silk cloth to him, and it was worth 60 dirhams. He looked at the cloth and said, thought to himself, it's worth more. He went to one of his neighbors and asked him. His neighbor said, yes, I think it's worth 120. Exactly 100% more than what she was asking. Then he tells this lady, I think it's worth more. She said, no, my family people have asked me to sell it only for 60 dirhams. He said, no, go back to your family. Go back to your family because this is worth 120. And I can pay you 120 for this, not that amount that you are asking for. Looking at the welfare of the person that is coming to sell the item, not looking at our benefit, how much money I can take out from this person, or how I can take this person and take his wealth. It's regarding the same person, Yunus bin Ubayy, rahmatullahi alayhi, mentioned that one person had come to him and asked him for an item for a shawl that was worth 400 dirhams. And he did not have that in stock. He only had a shawl that was worth 200 dirhams. And he had to leave his shop for a while. And when he was gone, I think either it was his servant or his nephew that had sold that item that was worth 200 dirhams, sold it for 400 dirhams. And when he had come back, I think it was time for Salat, he had left for Salat and gone. When he had come back, he found 400 dirhams. He inquired from the worker, what is this for? He told him, this is for the shawl that I sold to that person. In the current scenario, what do we find? MashaAllah, you earn so nice profit for me. Instead of selling that item for 200, you sold it for 400. And that person took it willingly. He told this person, go and look for that person. Call that person. Because here you have erroneously sold him something that was worth less for a price that is more. That person comes back and then he tells him that we had sold you this item. Either you keep that item and we give you 200 dirhams back to you, or you give us back the item and you give me the 400 dirhams. That person asks him, who are you? He says, I'm just a brother. I'm just another Muslim person. I'm just a Muslim from the Muslims. In other words, he was so amazed that this person here, he wants to repay me. He had erroneously and by mistake sold me an item that is less worth less. But he wants me to recompense me with that amount that he overcharged me and will give me that. He said, no, I will keep the item and you can give me back the 200. You can give me back the 200 and I'll keep the item. Here, as I mentioned, the item is sold with the consent of both parties. But person realizes that he has given him something which is worth less. So this was the business integrity. This was the honesty. This was the feeling. This was the consideration and goodwill a person had towards the person that should come and buy. And there are so many other incidents, inshallah, we'll continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhru da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.